WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. Local officials believe there are no survivors after an Air India plane with 242 people on board crashed into a residential neighborhood just after takeoff this morning. CBS's Remy Innocencio from London.
This is in India's western city of Ahmedabad. The flight on its way to the United Kingdom, specifically to London's Gatwick Airport, which also means that this plane was loaded up with fuel.
CBS News transportation correspondent Chris Van Cleve has seen the footage.
The plane almost looks like it's descending to land. The landing gear is down. That would be indicative, essentially, that this 787 failed to generate enough lift to stay in the air shortly after taking off.
Rescuers say they found dozens of bodies at the crash site. According to the Aviation Safety Network database, it is the first ever crash of a Boeing 787 Dreamliner. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Bacteria in the water. Our very own lakes can have very high levels of E. coli, and you do not want to swim in that. It can make you sick. The Mayo Clinic says it's a bacteria that usually lives in animals' intestines. And this nasty bug gets into our water after recent rain drains urban sewer water and rural agricultural runoff into our lakes and streams. It's a major problem in Wisconsin. It's called cyanobacteria, or what we call blue-green algae in our freshwater systems. It's the outbreak of smelly and slimy microorganisms that can kill fish and block sunlight from deeper water organisms. And for us humans, it causes nausea, vomiting, and may progress to more serious, long-term health issues like liver failure or cancer. And it can happen for people swimming in it, eating fish from it, or drinking the infected water. So the DNR and other agencies have to monitor hundreds of lakes and beaches for unhealthy levels. And there's actually an interactive map on their website that you can check out ahead of time. Or if you're already there, signs should be posted at those beaches. Higher temperatures and increased sunlight in summer months encourage and increase these algae blooms, and so does standing water. Recently, elevated E. coli bacteria levels were found off of Silver Creek in Ripon, and in Chippewa, off of Otter Lake Beach. They're under an advisory, as well as the Trempealeau River in Pytrek County Park Beach. Remember, if the water looks or smells bad, stay out of it and keep kids and pets and livestock away. Fountains have been used to fight this in local ponds, and people in the community are using rain barrels to help reduce runoff. Also, using phosphorus-free fertilizers will help. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
Bombs away at minicamp. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Where the Packers held minicamp practice, a 70-yard bomb from quarterback Jordan Love to wide receiver Mecole Hardman for a touchdown. Hardman won three Super Bowls with the Chiefs, but struggled while with the Jets. I asked him what he hoped for here in Green Bay.
The new opportunity, you know, I think it's one of those like fresh starts, and you know, the Packers just, you know, welcome me with, you know, open arms and giving me the opportunity to go out there and showcase my skills, and you know, it's good enough for me, and I just got to go out there and take advantage of it.
NBA Finals. The Pacers beat the Thunder 116-107 to go up 2-1 in the best of seven series. The Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton.
There's going to be ebbs and flows. So seeing where I could be better is important through the first two games and just trying to be better today.
Baseball. Brewers rookie pitcher Jacob Mizorowski makes his major league debut tonight against the Cardinals. His fastball has been clocked at 103 miles per hour. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Some sunshine this morning, more cloud cover a little later this afternoon, and there will be more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires. Our high today, 72. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms with a low of 52. Tomorrow will be cooler with scattered thunderstorms with highs in the mid to upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Outside now, it's 55.
Matt Nair on Air.
Rick Reed is here, an economics instructor.
Remember the film, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? A driver is riding parallel to him and honking their horn saying, you're going the wrong way. And Candy and Steve Martin go, ha, 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 how do they know where we're headed? Congress and the administration are saying, this is what we're going to do for our budget. But at the end of the day, the Congressional Budget Office basically said that bill is going to create another $3.8 trillion in debt over the next 10 years.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome beauty queen and security expert Jenna Watkins, and then we grill pizza in the studio with Papa John's owner Danny Bim. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It's 8:06. Nice to have you back here up north on this Thursday morning, June 12th. But I'm so confused. I'm so confused about the comment sections today, and I'll explain for Brittany Merlot and Chad Holmes, who join us here in just a sec. We'll also be talking to Sean O'Malley, talking about your money and the markets. We'll talk to Joe Zepecki as well. We have a bittersweet weather anniversary to talk about today, too. First, a reminder that tomorrow we will be visiting with Judge Chris Taylor, a candidate for Wisconsin Supreme Court in April of next year. It's quite likely she'll be taking on conservative Justice Rebecca Bradley, who we expect to be running for another 10-year term. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will join us for part of that interview as well. And of course, we'll have all of our regular week in review panelists talking about the headlines of the past week. All that and more coming up, including more from Chad Holmes at 98.9 WXCO and Brittany Merlot's updated forecast for us. But first, gang, what's happening in my comment section? This is so left field from somebody who put on there just out of the yoga is a religion that sprang forth from the corrupt roots of sexual depravity in the 1960s.
Sure.
That's it. That's the post.
Okay.
I'm just so confused.
You can say it doesn't mean you need to.
Sometimes yes. It's like your indoor voice. Sometimes you use your in-head voice. Just keep it in there because we haven't talked about yoga, religion, or cultural depravity. So not yet anyway, but now I got some ideas.
Oh boy.
All right.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow takes a turn.
Brittany, you go first. Let's talk about the weather system here that's going to be a bit of a pipeline for rainy weather over the next few days.
I'll tell you what. First, I'm going to start with yoga by the beach.
Amazing. Got to move along.
Moving on. Okay. Well, we hit 90s yesterday. That's some beach weather. Now we're sitting at about 50 to 65 degrees across the state. We've got a lot of clouds out there. Also, rain starting to push in from La Crosse to about the Madison area, scraping there. That is going to continue to lift north. So central area is still looking at chances of rain this afternoon. And then tonight, it will be kind of heavy into northern parts of the state, continuing into tomorrow, too, where we could see an inch or two in portions of northwest Wisconsin. Otherwise, a majority of the state is looking around half an inch to maybe an inch of rain. But this system will continue to drop south as we go through Friday afternoon. So southern areas, again, more scattered showers and storms sparking up. That'll linger till Saturday morning before we finally get a dry day on Saturday. Or I'm sorry, Sunday, but it doesn't last long because Monday and Tuesday, the heat and humidity start to seep back in and more showers and storms start to fire up. So a wet next few days ahead. It is cooler as we go through the rest of this week. The heat and humidity hold off until next week. But again, yes, a lot of rain rolling through starting today.
So we're going to get the rain, but not we're not looking at anything that has severe potential to it.
No, right? Not until next week. Next week, probably.
That's all right, because today, this is the anniversary of the New Richmond tornado. It was on this day in 1899 when an estimated F5 tornado formed in the early evening and tore a 45-mile path of destruction through St. Croix, Polk, and Barron counties, causing 117 deaths. And to this day, it remains the ninth deadliest tornado in U.S. history, as well as the deadliest ever recorded in Wisconsin. Now, admittedly, we don't have nearly the forecasting and warning capabilities that we do now, but I mean, we've certainly seen our share of F5s. We know that tornadoes can go on for miles and miles and miles. So even if you hear a tornado warning in a nearby county, you can't just dismiss it and go, well, that's just them. It won't get to us, Brittany. These things still are, they're not fully predictable, as we well know.
No. And if you think about this, I mean, this is what, over 100 years ago, and the population wasn't nearly where we are now. And, you know, rolling through that town, New Richmond took a direct hit, and they had a circus going on and everybody was in town. But the really amazing part about it is a lot of people decided to stay and rebuild, which really shows a lot about Wisconsin and the communities and how much we love our areas. So that's really cool. And even, you know, it was so long ago, it was considered an F5. Those winds were over 200 miles per hour. So that is still today considered in our enhanced Fujita scale at an EF5. So a very strong, massive, deadly tornado. They usually don't stay on the ground for that many miles, 45 miles. They're usually on the ground for a couple or so. So yes. While we may see a lot of weaker tornadoes more often, these stronger ones are possible. They do happen in our state. And not to mention, we're seeing that tornado alley, the classic tornado alley, shift further north and further east. That means into Wisconsin.
Yeah, all the more reason to be paying attention to your local forecast throughout the day here on your favorite civic media stations. Brittany, thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Let's turn to Chad Holmes now from 98.9 WXCO, who's been busy covering some postseason sports for us. You've been on the road already this week.
Yeah, I went off to Augusta on Tuesday. Nice drive, you know, about 90 minutes or so. See the Pat Kreitlow part of the world. And but no, it was fun. And actually now the high school aspect of my season is over. So it's little sad. I got to count up the game. I'm actually going to do that here the next day or two to count up how many I did for the 2024-2025 season, because I really don't know. Some people keep counts of that. I've never done that, but I'm going to try to figure it out.
See, I have to do that, because otherwise, I'll get curious. I'll want to go back and wonder about it. So, no, I do. So I let me scroll up to the top of my notes here. Today is morning show number 580.
I admire you that you've been able to keep track of that, because actually I thought about this because the other night I was watching the Stanley Cup, and one of the broadcasters, Eddie Olchek, and they said, congratulations, Eddie, this is your 1,000th national TV broadcast. And I thought, man.
But you know, they weren't keeping track. You know, some poor intern had to go back through all the records.
There you go. That's what I need. I need an intern. That's exactly what you need.
Parker?
Full-time, dang it.
Okay. Sorry about that. Here's an interesting story that I saw in both of the Wausau news outlets, the Herald and the Pilot and Review. Mm-hmm. The remains of an unknown World War I soldier have been exhumed in Wausau for DNA identification. Did not realize that in that area there is a grave that's marked an unknown soldier. And you think, well, how in Wausau? This doesn't make sense. What it was the backstory was this was a soldier who died by suicide in, I think, the 1930s it was, left, and nobody knew who he was. And he didn't leave any word. And so the rest of his family could never be notified. He just said that he was a World War I veteran. And so now through DNA technology, they maybe will be able to find relatives and understand who that is. Which I have to say, Chad, I kind of go both ways on the whole notion of the unknown soldier, that's there are simply people who never come home, and that person is symbolic of that. On the other hand, you get that sense of closure. So I'm sure a lot of folks in Wausau noticed that and were kind of chatting about it.
Well, and yeah, it's been noticed. And also kind of a big picture thought when I came across that is that during this era where technology is just moving at just the speed of light, speed of sound, whatever you want to say, that there are still aspects that are good, because I hate AI. I hate where it's going. I hate a lot of the technology. I hate the fact that that everybody is so into this technology that is not making humanity better. It's taking away, I think, creativity and opportunities. But in this case, yes, that would be something that, hey, it's wonderful to have the idea of being able to have that sense of closure. And it's, you know, and it's a very... You think back, you know, sometimes you think back to World War One, back to the 19-teens, 20s, and then 30s, where this person committed suicide, and how the world has just changed in ways that are beyond fathom. And I think a lot of the issues are that we're seeing nowadays is because it's almost impossible, I think, for us as human beings to put our arms around the way that things are changing so very quickly. And sometimes I lie in bed and I think way too much about this kind of stuff.
You do. You think about this technology a lot. I have alluded to this story before, and I'm going to do it again because I can't give particulars for obvious reasons here. But we all know that there are all these stories about how these ancestry kits, you know, 23andMe and all these other DNA kits, are leading to some interesting revelations, you know, people who weren't really their father and things like that. And I've got a friend who realized, you know, again, he was in his 60s by the time this happened. He, as a baby, was actually switched in the hospital and was raised by the people who weren't his biological parents, as was the other person as well. And again, would never have known that if it were not for today's technology and DNA tests, which, again, cut both ways. It was very shocking, but he also enjoyed, you know, meeting new family in this case. So, again, you have to be very mindful of the impact of all of these things that you're doing out there. But it's nice to know that I'm not the only curmudgeon out there when it comes to these things like AI. And I mean, I'm seeing things on my social media feed that, again, they look like very realistic videos, mm-hmm. and they're not real. And, you know, they do have the potential to inflame. I mean, somebody else said it, not me, but if ever there's a war between like India and Pakistan, it's probably going to be over some kind of an AI video that people took, you know, the wrong way and thought, oh, there's an attack going on and we have to attack back or something like that. So I can't agree with you enough about the precautions that need to go into this stuff.
And I just think generally, I mean, as we go through our journeys of life, that there are so many different ways that we are able to show creativity and show, you know, even our work lives. I mean, are we all going to be just, you know, screwing in for those iPhones? I mean, I fear for that. I fear because, I mean, you know, you could set it up real fast. One thing that in this business, starting in the fall, NBC is returning with the NBA. They have a new contract, TV contract. What they're going to do is, they had this iconic voice that would say, "This is the NBA on NBC." Well, that gentleman has died. But through the miracle of AI, that guy's going to be the voice of the NBA on TNT, on NBC again. And I just think that's wrong on every level. I mean.
You're not talking about Marv Albert.
No, but okay. The guy who did the voiceovers.
Oh, you know? The guy who did the voiceover. Because I was going to say, Marv Albert is very much alive. It's his 84th birthday today. So I want to make sure we weren't offing poor Marv.
But you remember the last Olympics, NBC did this highlight package every single day of the Olympics and used the voice of Al Michaels through AI.
But it wasn't Al Michaels,
it
right?
Wasn't it wasn't Al Michaels.
No.
But I mean, like, are we all going to be just basically service folks in the future?
Well, there are people who think, and others are kind of embracing that and saying, well, it's going to happen anyway, so let's you know, do this. Here's the thing. We'll end it on the Trump big bloated boondoggle budget bill, is that when some Republicans found out that contained in that bill is a restriction that states would not be allowed to regulate AI for 10 years. I mean, honest, Marjorie Taylor Greene and I agree on something. She was the first one out of the gate saying I'd never voted for this bill if that was in. It's definitely coming out.
Who put that in, though? That's the question.
That's
Who
the thing.
Put we, that in?
Yep. And, you know, what were they getting out of it. So thanks again for joining us for a couple of old deep men thoughts. Afraid of technology.
There
and now we're going to be calm and move on. Chad there Holmes, here I'm on 98.9 WXCO, and we will talk to you a little later. Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
All right. Still ahead, Sean O'Malley about your money in the markets and Joe Zepecki from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota. Thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In discussions over the so-called Big Beautiful Bill, backed by Donald Trump, that's making its way through Congress, none other than Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has emerged as the most prominent Republican critic of the bill, saying at a recent Milwaukee Press Club event that it is, quote, not even close to adequate. Johnson has said he wants spending cuts to go even further, including making cuts to Medicaid. But Johnson's position as a critic of this bill makes him especially influential in these negotiations. But let's not forget the last time he was in a similar position. In 2017, he was a critic of the Trump tax cut bill, but what he fought for was a tax break for certain types of businesses, perhaps not coincidentally, businesses owned by his largest donors, Dick and Liz Uline. In 2018 alone, the Ulines received more than $200 million in tax breaks because of this bill. So as the Big Beautiful Bill is negotiated in the Senate, let's not forget this piece of recent history.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The soap scientists have found a way to incorporate Sydney Sweeney's actual bathwater into the soap. What if she doesn't smell good? I know she's beautiful.
It smells terrible.
What if she stinks? And no one is going to tell her that because she's Sydney Sweeney. Here's an open invitation to Sydney Sweeney. Come by the Nightlight Studios. I'll smell you and let you know if this is a good product.
Maybe drop off, you know.
And give us a few bucks. Yeah.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
And welcome back. It is Mornings with Pat Kreitlow here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Hey, looking at sports, congratulations to the D.C. Everest softball team. They're making their first ever trip to the state tournament down in Madison. And last night, it was a thriller. Went extra innings. It was a pitcher's duel. Addison Cluck, again, was mowing them down for the Evergreens. And in the end, D.C. Everest with a walk-off single by Taylor Friedel in the bottom of the eighth inning defeated Watertown by a score of 1-0. D.C. Everest, the number 4 seed, number 5 seed Watertown. So the Evergreens move on to the state semifinals in Division I. They will take on Kenosha Bradford, the number 1 seed, in a semifinal tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. So Kenosha Bradford and D.C. Everest in one of the Division I semifinals tomorrow morning. The other Kenosha Bradford, by the way, shut out Cedarburg 10-0 yesterday. The other D1 semifinal will be played late tonight between Kaukauna and Hamilton. Kaukauna defeated Sun Prairie East 9-1, and Hamilton got past Oregon 3-0. So one semifinal in D1 is tonight at 7 o'clock, Kaukauna and Hamilton. The second one between Bradford and DC Evers tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. The tournament is continuing today. Again, five divisions at the state softball tournament. In fact, right now, the first game of the Division 5 semifinals is going on as Belmont is taking on Ithaca. Also today, Almond Bancroft against Thorpe in the Division 5 semifinals. Later on today, the Division 4 semifinals, Pacelli against McDonald Central and Mishicot against Mineral Point. And then the Division 2 and Division 3 semifinals tomorrow. Again, lots of action going on down in Madison. But best of luck to DC Everest as they try to make their way to another victory tomorrow morning in the semifinals. Milwaukee Brewers yesterday, they fell to the Atlanta Braves 6-2 at American Family Field. So the Braves take 2 out of 3 in that series. Milwaukee is now 36-33 on the campaign. They'll take on the St. Louis Cardinals, opener of a 4-game series tonight in Milwaukee. Last night, we had our first American Legion softball broadcast here on 98.9 WXCO. This year, we're doing some of the games for Wausau Post 10 in softball. And Wausau fell to Medford yesterday by a score of 11-4. But it was a really terrific evening. There was everybody that's involved in the area in American Legion softball held the first night at Sunnyvale. So they had games going on at all the diamonds. They had a great opening ceremony involving members of the American Legion, and that led into the softball. It was really a really nice event, an outstanding event. It was a lot of folks. That parking lot was packed. And then, of course, the opportunities for these young ladies to continue to play some softball during the summer. But Wausau fell to Medford 11-1. We will have more Post 10 American Legion softball next Wednesday when Post 10 takes on DC Everest Post 492. That's next Wednesday, our next broadcast of Post 10 softball here on 98.9 WXCO. Speaking of softball, the Wausau Ignite starting their first season of Northwoods League softball action, and they lost a slugfest last evening as Madison defeated Wausau by a score of 14-12. So if you have an opportunity, get over to Athletic Park this summer. Not just the Wausau Woodchucks, but the Wausau Ignite in Northwoods League softball action. Again, just so much able to do during the summertime. Get out there, enjoy it, and you know, great place to live, great place to enjoy outdoor activities here in North Central Wisconsin.
Indeed.
Hey, I forgot. We got to introduce Ian Welsh. He's sitting there. We had the first hour with Nancy Stensel here on the program and forgot to bring in Ian. But Ian Welsh, our in-studio engineer and producer across the way, across behind the glass here in our studios. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning, Chad.
What's going on? Are you chilling out this week after all the busyness of doing Anastasia for the last, 6 weeks or so?
Yes, I am. I'm taking a week off to, you know, rest up and recharge my energy because next week I'll be auditioning for something else.
Oh, what are you auditioning for?
Well, next week River and Woods is having auditions for their annual production of a Shakespeare in the Park. They have two shows, one for the kids and one for the adults, and the show I'm going to audition for is called The Comedy of Errors.
Yep.
It's one of Shakespeare's funniest works I read about as I was doing my research. So this week I've just been trying to, you know, get to know the characters a little more, the story, and just, it should be a really fun show. It's not a musical.
Right.
It's just a straight play. So it's going to be an added a challenge, because I'm used to musicals. But,
that's right.
You know, straight plays do intrigue me very much.
Fantastic. Again, more opportunities. And again, that we've talked about this in the past, where there's so many opportunities for those artistically inclined to be able to be involved in the arts, be involved in theater in different ways. But you are up, 70?
I'm just finishing Anastasia. That was my 74th
show.
So getting to a milestone if you are able to get a part with 75. So folks, if you're somebody that likes Shakespeare, likes being part of a theatrical production, check out River and Woods Theater Company. Get the information on their auditions coming up again next week, right?
Yep. The next week, Monday and Tuesday.
Fantastic. So I know River and Woods is on Facebook, so you can get information there, I'm sure, as well.
That's right.
Real quickly, we'll have coming up our number for the day quiz and in our last segment. And this day, our number for the day will involve the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Baseball Hall of Fame.
The Baseball Hall of Fame. So we'll have that coming up in our final segment. More of Pat Kreitlow, Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, coming up after an information update here on 98.9 WXCO.
Falls Radio, WXCO. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. A major bridge in western Wisconsin is open again after its second emergency closure in 2 years. Here's Jimmy Cuska with more.
A bridge crossing the Mississippi River to the south of La Crosse is open once again. The Blackhawk Bridge, which takes motorists from Wisconsin to Lansing, Iowa, reopened Monday morning. It was closed on May 17th due to one of its piers moving, but Iowa DOT officials said the bridge is safe to cross. The DOT said that it is planning future closures due to construction of the 94-year-old bridge's replacement, which is set to open in 2027. The current bridge was also closed last year for nearly 2 months for emergency repairs.
And a Wisconsin Girl Scout has set a new record for the most cookies ever sold. Savannah Tomei Olson has the story.
Molly Lennius graduates from Madison East High School this week. She's now sold more than 35,000 boxes of cookies throughout her life. That's the most of any Wisconsin Girl Scout ever. The Badgerland Council of the Girl Scouts estimates she spent about 700 hours selling cookies in sunshine, rain, and snow. When combined with her sister Victoria, together they've sold almost 65,000 boxes of cookies. Congrats to them.
And Wisconsin's tourism industry saw another record-breaking year in 2024. Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Department of Tourism say over 114 million people visited the state last year, which generated a total economic impact of nearly $26 billion. Previous record had been set in 2023 at about $25 billion. In addition to the growing number of visitors and the money they bring, the tourism workforce grew by over 2% to 182,000 jobs. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Summer blockbuster season rolls on this weekend with some great options if you are headed to the theater. The highly anticipated live-action version of How to Train Your Dragon opens this weekend and has a very solid 82% on Rotten Tomatoes when it comes to critics. This is the fourth installment of the franchise, but the previous films have all been animated. Materialists is the latest material from Studio A24. The rom-com stars Pedro Pascal as a New York City matchmaker caught in a love triangle. The film is drawing an 87% on Rotten Tomatoes. Science fiction drama The Life of Chuck opens wide this weekend. The film is reviewing well and based on a short story by Stephen King. And if you're in the mood for a Western, check out The Unholy Trinity. The film stars Samuel Jackson and Pierce Brosnan, but has not been reviewed yet. My assumption would be lots of good gunfights, decent acting, cheesy dialogue, and a pretty bad story, as it has not been made available to critics yet. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Some sunshine this morning, more cloud cover a little later this afternoon, and there will be more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires. Our high today, 72. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms with a low of 52. Tomorrow will be cooler with scattered thunderstorms with highs in the mid to upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin, chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night, I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right. You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
State Representative Christian Phelps.
As somebody who's in my first term in the legislature, one of the striking things is how seldom the majority party speaks with us. I don't know how many of my colleagues personally feel LGBTQ people don't deserve freedom, but that's kind of irrelevant at the end of the day. They've already spent a number of days attacking trans people because those are days they don't have to spend defending their very unpopular economic agenda.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll be live from Shawano, Wisconsin, where we'll be talking with some of the Democratic Party people locally about living in a red county in Wisconsin. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Hey, don't forget, Up North News is part of Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy news network. You can find what we do over at couriernewsroom.com. And if you head over there, you'll see all kinds of newsletters and podcasts. One of the newsletters by Melissa Ryan is called Control Alt Right Delete. It's a weekly newsletter devoted to covering the rise of far-right extremism, white nationalism, disinformation, and online toxicity. And then there's also How Is This Better?, a new Courier production podcast video from Akila Hughes, covering everything from politics to entertainment to tech and late-stage capitalism. There is a new episode now on Mark Zuckerberg and how he once wanted to talk about making the world more open and connected, but is now doing all kinds of things that do anything but. How Is This Better?, a Courier podcast from Akila Hughes, you can find over at Courier Newsroom. Let's continue our conversation now with Sean O'Malley. Now that the markets have opened for the day, Sean, we know we've talked earlier about some of the market volatility, shall we say. You had a consumer price index reading that came out recently. So, Sean, what can you tell us about the latest on the CPI and also on non-farm payroll, the jobs picture?
Yeah, that's a good introduction, Pat. Thanks. So we had the non-farm payroll number announced last Friday. It's always announced the first Friday of every month. So for May, the jobs number came out at 138,000 jobs. Typically between 100 and 150,000 is considered sort of treading water. So no big changes. It's not great. It's okay. Unemployment remains steady at 4.2%, according to those numbers. And then yesterday, we had the announcement of the CPI, the Consumer Price Index. And that the expectations were for it to go up about 0.3%. However, it only went up 0.1%. And ironically, one of the things they mentioned specifically is that due to lower fuel costs, that was one of the dampening effects of that relatively moderate CPI number. Now you've got inflation tracking at about 2.4%. So fairly, modest numbers across the board, nothing that's earth shattering. The low inflation number did help yesterday's 10-year Treasury note auction go fairly well. So we're seeing bond yields start to level off and kind of stop with as much volatility as we have seen in the recent past.
All right. Always appreciate the update on how our money is affected by the markets and the news that comes out of Washington, D.C. and elsewhere. Sean O'Malley, good to catch up as always. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Pat.
All right. Thank you. Let's see. It's 8:38 right now. Again, a reminder, Brewer baseball against the Cardinals. 6:05 is the pregame on several Civic Media radio stations, and that would include tonight the major league debut for the Brewers of minor league pitching phenom right-hander Jacob Mizorowski A lot has been said about that. So let's bring in Brewers pitching phenom expert Joe Zepecki with more about that. Joe, is this Miz kid? Is this the beginning of a World Series run for the Brewers? The way people, they're talking about him the way they talked about Garrett Mitchell, who played like half a game before he was injured for a year.
Well, you be nice to Garrett Mitchell. I would buy a ticket to the stadium just to watch that kid run. He's like a deer in a field.
I said the same thing. With his first couple of games, he had some home runs. He had some great defensive work. I said, this is the future, boys and girls. And then he was out. So I'm trying to cushion against getting my optimism too high on Jacob Mizorowski.
I want to hear you say Mizorowski five times fast.
Mizorowski. A good Polish boy knows his names. I can do this all day
long. And that reminds me, by the way, we're going to talk about this weekend, but I got to talk about something I'm not going to be able to do this weekend because I'm going to miss it, and I'm sad about it. It's Polish Fest weekend. So if you are anywhere near the Summerfest grounds in the Milwaukee area, please go to Polish Fest. Please enjoy some Polish culture. Please enjoy some Polish cuisine. Please stop and visit my dear old dad and my family, who will be volunteering in the official merchandise tent. It's that hard structure that's now by the Miller Oasis. And if you don't want to go to look at souvenirs, you can go in there and do the vodka tasting. At least you have the last couple of years. So, split family. Some of us will be in Wisconsin Dells. Some of us will be in Milwaukee at Polish Fest.
Polish Fest, that is outstanding. I would, I wish I were down there for that. I've got other commitments that won't let me go to the convention either. That'll be going on this weekend. As you know, your lovely bride got to go first yesterday. You get to go second in reacting to the column from our friend Dan Schaefer saying, love you, Governor Evers, but you shouldn't run for a third term. And he spelled out all the reasons why. And you might not know this about Melissa Baldoff, but she did not hold back yesterday. maybe you've noticed that trait in her. I'm not sure.
Boy, you are walking me into a minefield between the hottest take we've heard on the race for governor and the personality of my darling wife, who I love very much.
You can jump right into the in the box with me that simply points around my arm, gestures widely, and says, look at all this. How's this for conversation? You know, because, I mean, it is. It's going to come up a lot this weekend, I'm sure, like it or not.
I actually disagree. I don't think it's going to come up much. I think this is a conversation largely happening inside Dan's head. And if Dan had a candidate in mind, or if Dan wanted to run for governor, I would take every other word of that column much more seriously. The reality is that Tony Evers is a really good governor who has earned the space to make his own decision. And there is no call for him to step aside. There is a lot of support for Tony Evers. He is the most popular politician in Wisconsin with good reason. And I just think this is all kind of silly. I love Dan. He does a really nice job. I don't think this was necessary. I don't think this was called for. I noted with interest. It's not like he quoted anybody in that story or in that column. It's not like he doesn't have the ability as a working journalist to get people to even say stuff, you know, without attribution. But nobody was willing to do that. He wasn't able to find that when he went and did, you know, had his conversations about that. So I genuinely think this is much ado about nothing.
Okay. So we'll see what all chatter comes up over the weekend in which you are running for state party chair along with two other candidates. Can I ask you about the process of this? It's going to be an instant runoff type of election that a lot of political reform advocates are saying would be the way to ensure that in every election, the winner at least eventually gets majority support. Because in this case, you're going to have three candidates. Whoever comes in third will be eliminated, and then they'll take all of those ballots for that person, and whoever was their second choice, they'll get the votes, and that means one of the candidates will end up getting a majority. We've talked about that a lot for, you know, typical elections, but not for an internal state party election. Let me put it up to you as vaguely as humanly possible. It sounds very intriguing.
I think so, too. I mean, I'll, so one of the things that party apparatuses can do is model stuff within their organizations that could work in public policy. One of the biggest problems in our politics is that so many elected representatives can only lose in primaries. I think we need to look seriously in the course of the next generation. I don't think this is coming anytime soon, at how to reform our elections to make them more little d democratic. And one reform that we are seeing begin to grow in states like Alaska, in Maine, is a move towards this type of instant runoff or ranked choice voting. We also see other states like California and Louisiana, where they do what's called a jungle primary and everybody runs together, and the top two candidates, regardless of party, face off in a general election. Given the threats to our democracy, it is okay to take a step back and look at how our democracy functions and whether there are ways to improve it. It may well turn out that ranked choice voting is one of the ways in which we can do that. The New York city elections is another place where they do this type of ranked choice voting. So I'm open to it. I'm intrigued by it as well. And I do think one of the impacts of it, at least from where I sit, is that it has led to a much more positive campaign. Now, I can't speak to what my competitors, and they are my competitors, they're not my opponents, they're my competitors. I don't know how they're talking about it, but I have found that it's really helpful as a candidate for state chair to, if somebody says like, hey, Joe, you know, love you, but I really want to go with one of the other candidates, that my reaction in response then doesn't have to be to tear down those other candidates. And it hasn't been. The response has been, well, I would love to be considered for your second choice, because that may well come into play. And so I think there's lots of good here. I think you explained it fairly well. I think there's going to be some questions about it. And the state party is going to do a lot of education, particularly on Saturday, around how this is going to work. But I think it's really interesting.
I think so, too, because it will demonstrate the candidates who have the broader base of support. And Alaska provided the best example. And I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but essentially, if there hadn't been instant runoff voting or ranked choice voting, Sarah Palin would have won an election for a congressional seat with something like 33% of the vote. And instead, by the time you got through all of the rounds of balloting with the multiple candidates, she did not take that congressional seat with 33% of the vote because she did not have broad support. She had solid support, but only from a small amount. Enough other people said, well, if this one isn't my, if my first choice doesn't, you know, get it, then this person's going to be my second. This one's going to be my third. Sarah Palin might be their third or fourth choice. And so I too am not saying it's perfect, but in this particular instance, you do see who are the people that can have a broader base as their first or second choice, as opposed to, it's, you know, it's my guy or nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's look at the battle over the Trump big bloated budget boondoggle, only because of this. Tom Tiffany put out a video this week, and other Republicans, they keep saying they're fact checking that Medicaid isn't being cut in this budget. Joe, could it be that they're right and everyone else is wrong? Or is it that folks are figuring this out and getting a little riled up about the Medicaid cuts in this budget bill?
They are not telling the truth. More than 10 million people would lose health care in this country if this abomination passes. You know what that would do? Raise everyone else's health care costs. This is madness. It is not needed for any reason. But the fact that the reason they are doing it is so Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg and Jeff Bezos and all these betas who are groveling all over themselves for the favor of King Donald. I don't even like those guys, and I'm embarrassed for them. But the idea that to give them a tax cut, we are going to kick 10 million people off of healthcare, raising costs on tens of millions of other Americans, is insanity. Of course this is unpopular. Of course Donald Trump's approval rating is dropping like a stone.
Of course it is, and we'll continue talking about that as well. A local update is next for some of you. Others will stick around here for a few final notes and some news. Tomorrow, we'll have Chris Taylor, a judge and candidate for state Supreme Court, Dr. Kristen Lyerly. We'll have our Week in Review panel. We'll talk to Mike Clemens with a little bit of sports as well. Don't forget to sign up for our newsletters, upnorthnewswi.com. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. With small ships that bring travelers closer to the destination, there's more time to explore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We're following up on a story from last summer when Georgia's State Elections Board voted to allow county election board members to conduct their own investigations before certifying an election, potentially throwing the elections into chaos. The state Supreme Court threw out that and other fringe rules on June 10th. The Georgia Elections Board approved partisan, conspiracy-driven rules just 90 days before the 2024 election, including allowing individual members of county election boards to conduct their own reasonable inquiry before certifying an election. Another rule approved in September required a hand count of paper ballots into stacks of 50 to compare with the machine count total. Pro-voter groups challenged the rules, and last October, a district court judge ruled they were enacted too close to the election and were too disruptive. The Republican National Committee and the Georgia GOP appealed for an emergency order, which was declined until after the election. In a victory for voters, the Georgia Supreme Court found June 10th that most of the election board's new rules were not enabled by state statute. The court allowed surveillance cameras at drop boxes, but struck down most others, including reasonable inquiry investigations, post-election document examination, hand counting, and IDs for family members dropping off mail ballots. Two other rules were sent back to lower courts. We have the 96-page order at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Summer. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win Contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
We need a fun listener name, something the followers of the show can call themselves. I thought, how about Couch Potatoes?
Potatoes.
I said it as a joke, and Todd cracked up. He goes, I love that. Whatever it is, folks, embrace your inner couch potato. We are not meant to work in the farms and hunt food. We were 1,000 years ago. But now, I think God wants us to sit back and be entertained.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you, along with Ian Welsh. It's Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. It's a very pleasant start here this morning. The rain has not arrived yet. Nope. Expecting some rain to start moving in pretty 50 soon, maybe later today, but right now very pleasant. 61 degrees at our studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. In the first hour of the program, we had Nancy Stensel in, the chairperson of the Marathon County Democratic Party, and one of the items that we discussed is this Saturday's No Kings rally hosted by North Central Wisconsin Indivisible. I want to underline that here for a few moments, give you all the details in a few minutes. But there was an article in the New York Times that kind of hit it. Michelle Goldberg wrote this article at New York Times. You can see it at newyorktimes.com. One of the statements kind of crystallized it. Quote, if you saw all this in any other country, soldiers sent to crush dissent, union leaders arrested, opposition politicians threatened, it would be clear that autocracy has arrived. The question now is whether Americans who hate tyranny can be roused to respond. End quote. And I think that hits it on the head. Will Americans be roused to respond? Because what we're seeing over the last nearly 5 months is Donald Trump probing, like a general in a war, probing to see how far he can go before the pushback gets to be too much. And while there has been pushback, sometimes within the halls of Congress, sometimes within the towns and cities and states of this country, there hasn't been enough. And he's continuing along this pathway to see how far he can go. And this weekend, it's going to be another step. In fact, this week has been another step. I'm not sure whether or not the term tipping point is the right term at this point, but it feels as though, at least to me, it feels as though we're getting closer and closer to a tipping point. You have Marines being put onto the streets of one of the biggest cities in this country. You have a Secretary of Defense saying that basically that American service members are going to be authorized to bring arms up against American citizens. You have journalists being targeted for just covering this event in Southern California. And that's just up to this point this week. This weekend, you have a massive military parade on the birthday of the President of the United States. Something that we laughed at. We felt disgusted by when leaders of Russia and China and other totalitarian countries would have similar type of events on the birthdays of their leaders. That could never happen here. Well, this Saturday it's happening. A massive military parade marching in front of the President of the United States on his birthday. I feel as though this Saturday's No Kings rally that will be held here in central Wisconsin and throughout the country is a point where people need to rise up and say, that's as far as the probing goes, Mr. President. That's far enough. It's time to push back. And the No Kings rally hosted by North Central Wisconsin Indivisible this Saturday, June the 14th, Flag Day, Donald Trump's birthday. Rib Mountain Drive on the sidewalk between Parrot Lane and Starling Lane, 12 noon until 2 p.m. I'm going to it because I think this is vital. I think it's time that we all get together and say enough is enough. I hope that many of you feel the same, that you can take some time on your Saturday to say, enough is enough. Mr. President, it's your birthday. Celebrate it with your family. Don't celebrate it with a military parade and trying to push fascism deeper down the throats of the American people.
Yeah.
And this is a nonviolent, as much as Donald Trump, I think, wants to have blood flow in the streets, as much as Chris Conley wants Donald Trump to have blood flowing through the streets, this is a nonviolent action. Nonviolent, saying we have principles in this country that we believe in. It's time for many, 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 many people to come out and say, Enough, Mr. President. Enough. All right. Let's wrap it up with our number for the day quiz. As Ian is 1 for 3, so he's right where he needs to be. 33% means that one more correct to either today or tomorrow is a passing grade. If he gets both correct, would have a winning week. And today's topic is...
The Baseball Hall of Fame.
The Baseball Hall of Fame. And I like to use it as part of this day in history as well, because on this date, June the 12th, the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum was dedicated in Cooperstown, New York. The number for the day is, what year was the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum dedicated in Cooperstown, New York?
Okay.
Was it 1929, 1939, 1949?
National Baseball Museum. You know, I'm going to say 1939. I'm going to say 39 is my final answer.
Going with the middle number today. Yep. Well,
1939.
On June the 12th of 1939, the National Baseball Hall of Fame was dedicated.
Thank goodness for that.
2 out of 4. 2 in a row.
Passing week.
Passing
That's
week.
What I like.
Going for a winning week tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Enjoy the rest of your Thursday.
You too, Chad. Happy Thursday, everybody.
Matt and Air on Air is coming up next here on 98.9 WXCO.
Listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. The police chief in the northwestern Indian city of Ahmedabad says rescuers have recovered 204 bodies so far after an Air India flight bound for London crashed just after takeoff. There were 242 passengers and crew members on board. Police say they were victims on the ground as well. Jaiswal Randhir with the Indian Ministry of External Affairs.
We extend our deepest condolences to all those who have lost their loved ones.
A portion of the plane's tail landed on what CBS News has determined is part of a hospital. The BBC's Samira Hussein.
Video on social media appears to show the moment the plane went down in a residential area near the airport, hitting an accommodation block for doctors. Black smoke billows into the sky from the site of the crash, while emergency crews try to douse the flames.
Data shows it is the first crash involving a Boeing 787 Dreamliner. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.